Good morning. Buenos dias. Oh, I'm so excited you made it here. This morning, our crew in the morning was kind of slow, you know, and everybody was asleep. I think it's the Sunday after Easter. It's like, you know, the week after Christmas. Everybody's kind of still settling, and I think that's what's going on. But the good news is the celebration hasn't stopped. And we don't stop celebrating, right? Because we are not attached to any special date. We always have a reason to celebrate. That's what makes us Christians. And we are starting a new series today called Encounters with Jesus. What happened after Easter? What happened with the things that that Jesus had promised? And this is a very special time because an empty tomb was exciting for us. More excited was to see him alive and walking and talking and eating with his disciples. So what we're going to study this week, these coming weeks, are going to change the way and hopefully the perspective that we have on Christ. Today, I'm going to apologize. I cannot say emails. It's going to sound like mouse, but I'm trying to say emails, I cannot say it, so I'm sorry. I'm going to try to say it in Spanish for you all. That's what I mean, emaus. It's, you know, it sounds like a mouse, but it's not. It's MS. I cannot say it, but please bear with me. That's what I mean. When I say it, that's what I mean, okay? So we're going to talk about that experience, and next week, Pastor Andrew will be preaching on Jesus called Mary by name. Then we'll be talking about Jesus' encounter with Thomas and then go and make disciples. So it's going to be a very interesting series, and I hope that you all do it with us. Let's go together to the Word of God before we go in prayer. Let's read together Luke 24, 13, 19. Now on the same day, day two of them, they were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and the word before God and all the people." This is the word of God for the people of God. Lord, we come to you asking to please open our eyes. Let us see you this morning. Let us meet you this morning. Let our eyes see the fullness of your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what we have in front of us is the most vivid, insightful account of the Lord's appearance after his resurrection. It's very interesting that Luke, it's the only gospel that talked to us about that story and revealed us not only something about Jesus, but reveals something about us. When we read the scripture, we can see our walk of faith. And to be honest, as I was reading and studying for discernment, like 20 sermons came, and it was hard to pick the right one. But the Lord talked to me about three group of people who may encounter us today here. Parents and spouses or Christians who have been faithfully praying for loved ones to get to know Jesus in a deeper way. Maybe you are a new believer who are not sure what Christianity is about, but you are compelled and you are attracted by the message and you want to know more about who Jesus is. Or maybe you are a Christian who have been walking with Jesus for a long time, but you feel lost. All of us have been in those shoes at one time. All of us, even pastors who have been preaching for 40 years. We lose the fire sometimes. We lose the way sometimes. And this story reminds us who Jesus is for us and who he wants to continue to be. So this journey is both literally and spiritual journey. In one hand, we have this the study of the story of two disciples who were walking with Jesus. They saw Jesus make miracles. They probably spoke with Lazarus after his death and resurrection. They probably saw all the miracles. And the Bible says in the book of John that if they were to write all the things that Jesus did, there was no books on earth to hold everything that he did. So I'm sure they encountered, they saw a lot of things. They heard a lot of messages. But it's very interesting the way that they describe Jesus. They called him a prophet. They called him a powerful man who did good deeds. They said, we had the hope that this man was going to be our deliverer. And not only that, as they were walking sad and talking about, you know, the expectancies that they had, expectations that they had that were not met, it's interesting, these same two disciples heard the women said that the tomb was empty. Still, that news, the tomb was empty, did not do anything for them. Just as many times we hear the good news that our sins are forgiven and it does nothing for us. Because many times our eyes are closed. Our ears are shut, and we do not understand the miracle that the table offered us. You know, that no fearing to death, no fearing to what is to come, is a powerful, wonderful thing. You know how many people are in you know, under treatments or in hospitals because they fear the future? Because they don't know what is about to happen. How many people are so in anxiety to the point to be frozen because they don't know what to expect. But you and I can hear, sitting and freely sing about what is to come, not to be afraid because we know who is next to us. That is a wonderful gift. It's a gift that brings freedom. It's a gift that opens our eyes. It's a gift that no one else has. So they received a lot of gifts, but they couldn't see it. And it's interesting when you read the passage, it's interesting when they start telling Jesus who this man was and what they were talking about. They say, some women told us that the tomb was empty. And as I was saying this morning, I'm not going to use this to pledge my case why women should preach, because that's not what I'm here for. But even though I think so, but he chose the women specifically because no one would believe them. The testimonies of women were not a good counted for. So he chose to show himself to them first. And they came excited. Even after talking to Jesus, they came excited and searched for the disciples and searched for Peter and John, and they did not believe them. They decided to run back to the tomb. And even though they saw the tomb empty, the disciples saw the tomb empty, they didn't know what to think. Even though Jesus said it over and over again, they're going to kill me, but I'll be right back. They're going to kill me, but I'll be right back. They're going to kill me, but I'll be right back. What are they going to do? Kill me. And what am I going to do? I'll be right back. They still didn't get it. But how many times has God told us so many things that we still don't get it? I need you to be nicer. I need you to be patient. And we don't get it. I need you to be quiet. And we don't get it. I need you to spend time with me. We don't get it. So sometimes when we read the Bible, We read these stories and we said, how silly are these men? I thought that when I was reading, like, really? How much does he has to do? But the reality is that how many times had Jesus said so many things to us, but we still don't get it. So we are all in the same journey. in different places at different times. So the reality is that Jesus seeks us. Although the disciples knew who he was, they did not know him yet. They did not know him yet. But Jesus was not going to stop there. That's what I'm telling you. If you are praying for a loved one, and if you are praying for yourself, if you are praying for a neighbor, maybe a son or daughter who you think are straying away, but you have planted the seed of the gospel, just be patient. Wait on Jesus, because he will seek for him. He will find him. He will leave the 91s and find him or her wherever they are. Because that's our shepherd. He chose to reveal himself to those unknown disciples before he revealed himself to the 12, to the 11, that walk with him and pay a high price. He showed himself to them before them. So that's why we say in the Bible says the first one will be the last and the last will be the first. Many of you will do more things that Pastor and I, Andrew, have done combined. And that's our hope. Our hope is our children will do farther and better. That's our hope. And that's his hope. That's what he said. You will do greater things. And you may think, what is greater than bringing somebody from death? From the death. I've never done that. You know, but you know what is greater? Get to know somebody intimate and still loving that person for who he or she is. That is greater than bringing somebody from the dead. For him, we women, men, children, we are the biggest treasure. It's not about having and collecting and showing how successful we are. The treasure that he wants us to collect is people, relationships. It's relationships. So that's why he went and seek for those. They went going back home. They said, well, this is over. Three years. We learned a lot. Let's go back to work, I guess. And they were sad. But he found them. Even though he started walking with them, they did not recognize him. They did not recognize him. And you may think, how cruel. Why Jesus did not tell them? Oh, don't be sad. Because he says that he asked them, so what are you talking about? He knew. But he likes to ask us questions to make us reflect. Are you the only one who don't know? Oh, let me tell you what happened. And they started to talk, but he realized that they were sad. And at that moment, he could have said, wait a minute, I'm Jesus, I'm alive, here I am. But he did not. He continued to walk with them and let them be in their sadness for a little bit longer. Because sometimes he has plans for us to learn things in our pain, things in our loneliness, things in our quiet time. Sometimes we're sitting in a problem for a long time because there's something for us there to learn. And we should trust that he has the best intention at heart. There's nothing that he cannot do for us, but yet he doesn't do everything for us because he loves us. I'm going to repeat that again. He has the ability to do everything you're asking him to do, but he does not do it because he loves you. And you are far more important than what you're asking him to do. You are far more important. Him to know you and his intention for you to know him is more important to him than your pain or our suffering sometimes. Because he knows that if I find him there, I can find him everywhere. So the intention. So, you know, we know we're sitting and we hear a lot of philosophers, what is the purpose in life? What is the purpose in life? Well, Christians, we know what is the purpose in life. And we may say, oh, it's to worship God. Or it's to come to church. Or it's to do good deeds. No. The purpose in life is to get to know God and enjoy him as he enjoyed us. You know, he enjoyed you. He laughs at your jokes. When you do something silly, he laughs too. I'm sure, because we do. He is a good father, and he's a good listener. But many times, we don't trust that enough because we're too caught up thinking about our own faults. Just as you see your children, doesn't matter how bad your children behave, you still love them because you see yourself in them. The same thing with God. There's nothing that you can do that will make him stop you because he created you. He sees himself in us. So they did not recognize him, but in the events that took place did not help because they were expecting a leader, or they were expecting a politician, or they were expecting a rich guy who was going to buy the Romans out of the land, or I don't know. They expected something else. Just as we expecting politicians to do something for us, or the government to take care of something, or we expect our spouses or our children or the people around us to solve our problems, but guess what? That's not going to happen. It does not happen that way. So they had expectations on Jesus, but he came to do something far more important that set them free from the Romans. You know why? Because today was the Romans, then other kingdoms took over, and they're still fighting. 2,000 years later, they're still fighting for the same piece of land. So he realized our problem is not the land or it's not the oppression. Our problem is our sin. Our problem is our heart. Our problem is our relationship with him and how we see ourselves. So the gift that Jesus wanted to give us, it was far greater than an empty tomb. It was far greater than the forgiveness of sin, and it was far greater than eternal life. He wanted us to know him, who he is, know what he can do for us only. That what he can do for us is just an adding sugar or added. Him is a lot greater than that. So they had that little faith. They could not understand it. But Jesus opened their eyes. And how he did it was amazing. He did it not by showing them his hands, not by saying, touch here. He was talking about the word of God. Maybe he mentioned Genesis. Maybe he mentioned Isaiah. Maybe he mentioned Isaiah 53 when he says he was despised and rejected by man, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like other people turned away. He was despised and we did not value him. Jesus was quoting all the scriptures maybe that the prophets spoke about him. And that's why they were feeling the fire in them. They were so in love with the word of God that they said, oh, stay with us. It's getting late. Don't leave. And you know why? As I was reading the scripture, I realized why. Jesus was bringing by the word of God, he was bringing the presence and the environment in you and I were created. Our environment, our natural state as human beings is in the word of God. What is inside of us? His essence. His word is inside of us. So the life that is worth living, it's in his word. This is what creates the environment for us to thrive in. Christian music. You know, good movies are based on the word. And anything that you can get your hands on that contains this truth will bring the environment that we need to thrive. But many times we forget about opening the Bible, or we forget about, you know, surround ourselves with the environment and we dry out. And then we think, what's going on with me? Why I feel so depressed? Why I feel so sad? I don't know what to do. So he is asking us, go back. Every time you feel that you're drying out, go back to the word. Go back to the truth. Go back to where you came from. You and I came from the word of God. He created us and he breathed on us. So is his breath in our lungs, like a song says? Is his breath, is his word in our lungs? And after they had that encounter with the word of God, then only in fellowship, when he was close to them, when he broke the bread and gave thanks, their eyes were open. Oh my gosh, that is him. It's him. And when, as soon as they opened their eyes, Jesus left. Why do you think that happened? Every time I read the Bible and I ask why, you know, and that's how I learn. So I'm going to ask you a lot of questions today. Why? Why didn't you stay and explain to them? Why just leave? It's because he doesn't want us to depend on sight. He does not want us to depend on what we can feel or what we can see, because our sight and our ears and our feelings can deceive us. Have you heard, have you seen what is going on in Las Vegas in that big dome, and you see the concerts that they do there and the things, the crazy things that they do, and they make people feel like they are swimming or whatnot, right? So the sight can deceive us. Hearing can deceive us. Like I'm trying to say MS and you are listening mouse, you know, the same thing. Listening can deceive us. But when we are connected to him in the spirit, that cannot deceive us. So trusting him, even if you make the mistake, we need to trust. He's our shepherd and he will get you back. He will bring you back from wherever you are coming from. So when they recognize him, in the fellowship, in the closeness, in the exchanging of bread, and above all, in the thankfulness, they knew that Jesus was always thankful. So every time, I don't know if that it has happened to you, but there's people that I connect really deeply. The more Jesus a person has, the more you connect with that person. Hasn't that happened to you? Or you talk to somebody, you don't know if that person is Christian or not, but there's something in you that you connect really well with that person, and that is the fire of Jesus. That is his love and his spirit in that person giving you testimony you can trust. So it's the same thing with him and us. So in that closeness, they saw Jesus, and their eyes were open, and what happened? They took off running. They forgot that it was dark. They forgot that it was late. They forgot that it was dangerous. They forgot the road. And they forgot that was 7 miles. Seven. And they did not eat, because Jesus said thank you and disappear. And they took off running. So I'm sure they didn't eat. They didn't drink anything. They were so, so excited that they ran back 7 miles. I don't know how long it takes you to run. But I tried to run 2 miles, and it takes me, I don't know, like 30 minutes. Don't judge. It takes me like 30 minutes. So 7 miles would have taken me like 5 hours. I don't know. But they took off running, and they made it back to Jerusalem. And what they found the disciples sitting all together, and they were astonished because Jesus revealed himself to Peter. So Jesus went to saw them before he saw Peter, who was one of the leaders of the church at that time. So they said, oh, so he's alive. We saw him. You saw them. The woman saw him, but I don't care about that, right? So he's alive. And things started to happen. So we are praying for a revival. We are praying for an enlightenment in our spirit. In this new season, we are praying for us to see him clearly, and that can be only be found in the Word of God. That can only be found in a deeper, everyday, deeper relationship with him. And it does not take much. It does not take much. It just takes your willingness and your faith, your step of faith of doing it. And that is the invitation of Jesus today. Before I close, I want to ask you a couple questions for you to take home and reflect on. I like to ask myself questions. That's the way I discover things about myself, or I ask questions to people too, you know. So when I'm upset, I may ask myself, why am I upset? Or when I'm in a rush, why am I in a rush? And it helps me to bring, you know, clarity to my mind. So I hope it does the same thing for you. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions this morning. Do you know Jesus this morning? Do I know Jesus this morning? Do we have our eyes open to who he is and what he has done for us? Do we know that he walks with us and talks to us every day? Can we testify to his presence in our life? Do we have fellowship with him? Do we expect him every day to talk to us and see us? Has your experience with him been so real, so moving, so life-changing that it has caused you to tell others about him? And one big question that I want you to, and I have asked myself, and I hope that you take home with you: what will you do with Jesus this morning? What will you do with him this morning? If you make a date with him and you sit at the table, you pour yourself tea, coffee, and sit at a table, and you have the honor to see him next to you, what would you say to him? What would you ask him? Do you know what do you want? Do you know what do you need? Those are questions that I hope that are in your heart. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your presence in this place. Help us to see you every day. Help us to enjoy you every day. Help us to be joyful, trusting and faithful to your promises. Remain faithfully walking until you see us, meet us, and reveal yourself to us. And we pray, Lord, that you open not only our eyes, but the eyes of our people around us, the eyes of every church, and the eyes of everybody here in this town, so we can go and testify to others how good you are and how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.